I feel like this is the angriest I've been when discussing a documentary on this podcast.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Great.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And I am ready to be abducted by aliens after watching this documentary.
You know, Jamie, I've been thinking that we don't really need that explicit tag on our podcast. Because we don't cuss that much. But then I watched this.
It's something else.
There's a lot of F-bombs in my notes as we get going.
Everything is wrong with this.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything right about it, except for perhaps love.
Love. Love solves all problems.
Love in the time of abduction.
Right.
We watched Otherworldly Amour on Amazon Prime, which I misread at first as Otherworldly Armor.
And at one point you read it as Otherworldly Armoire, which is also not the same thing.
No. We start with an overview of the four major types of close encounters with alien life. The first kind is seeing something, the second kind is physical effects, the third kind is contact, and then the fourth kind is abduction.
And this documentary is about people who've experienced the fourth kind.
And yet...
Have they?
Well, have they? And if you want to take the tack that the aliens... or whatever these things are, might be benevolent towards the human race, I feel like they would have taken them and maybe not returned them.
I also feel like if they were benevolent sometime after November 2016, they would have just taken some action to change the course of human history.
Yeah, it gets more and more difficult to believe in supernatural forces these days.
Right. Are there aliens? Is there a God? So many questions.
I wanted to briefly mention before we really get into this, I watched this documentary in two ways. I watched it with my normal headphones that I'm using right now to record this, but I also watched it with earbuds on my iPhone the first time through. And there's this like static effect that they use to jump between scenes. Did you notice this?
I did.
Because man, it's irritating with earbuds.
It's irritating, full stop.
And they use it, like, multiple times a minute at some points during this.
There were times where I thought there was, like, a faulty connection between my earphones and the iPad.
Yeah, it sounds like something has gone wrong. And, indeed, it has. And the people to blame for it are Josh and Shauna, who are really at the center of this entire 45-minute or so documentary. And... we get told at first how wonderful and perfect they are for each other.
At such length.
Yes. The most interesting thing that this documentary does happens about 2 minutes in when they talk about alternate explanations for aliens. Like maybe it's not extraterrestrial, maybe it's Earth-based alien life, or maybe there's some sort of collective human consciousness that's propelling information forward and across space-time. Like, I think it's just as far-fetched, but it's somewhat interesting to me.
See, I heard this as the call is coming from inside the house.
It's coming from inside the house.
The aliens are here, and they're us, and they're going to murder us.
Well, the aliens in this documentary are definitely us.
They sure are. And sometimes maybe satellites and other times maybe lights that are on poles, but they're certainly not aliens.
No. Shauna and Josh met in January of 2018. They married a few months later. It was a whirlwind love affair, but love is not their only connection. They also harbored strange experiences from childhood, which we will not hear anything about.
Nothing. Not one word.
No.
This thing that's supposed to bind them together as a couple, just mentioned in passing.
Instead, we only hear stories that require the two of these idiots to corroborate them.
Right.
No need to go digging in the past for a third party to validate any of this.
No.
The first story that we hear is that Josh went to a concert. They were leaving the parking garage and they were having problems getting through the gate. I'm going to stop for a second because Josh says that they were trying to get out for 20 minutes.
I noticed that too. Can you imagine being the car behind them? Okay, so I don't want to stereotype, but Josh and Shauna look like the kind of people that maybe would go to see a rougher class of musician.
These guys have Limp Bizkit written all over them.
So if you extend that out and think about who else might be at this concert, there's no way somebody's patiently waiting 20 minutes for these clowns to put their ticket in the ticket system.
The one time in my life where I've gotten stuck where like the bar wouldn't raise, there's a phone number on there. You call somebody at a desk, pushes a button and it opens and you get out.
And if there's a concert, there's really not a gate attendant.
None of this seems likely. It stood out to me because it's such a ridiculous detail in this story.
Right. Because it's like, if you're going to lie about that, basically everything else is a lie.
Well, yes. Josh decides, screw it, we're just going to break through the gate and get out of here. But then as they hit it, he says that it's like the lights went out and the next thing he knows, they're driving down a dark road in the middle of nowhere. And Shauna's like, oh, this is my road. How did we get here? So they had this loss of time, which Josh says that it wasn't really until the next day that that hit them.
So what you're saying to me is that there's aliens. And they've been watching you dick around with this gate for 20 minutes. They're not going to try to help you lose time in that effort. But instead, as soon as you get out of this parking garage, it's like they're just waiting out there for you. They're going to suck you up, but somehow keep your vehicle on a trajectory for where it needs to go and then spit you back into it.
This must be some sort of trans-dimensional thing because there are no witnesses.
Right. There were cars behind you. You hit the gate and then you started losing time immediately. Wouldn't somebody else have seen this light from the alien spacecraft?
I don't understand how this is supposed to work. And maybe we're getting too into the weeds, but like, it's supposed to take you 2 hours to drive home and you miss like an hour and a half of that. If the time lines up correctly, doesn't that mean that the aliens didn't do anything to you?
They don't really fully address that, though. They don't say, like, we looked at the clock and it was 4 days later or something like that. It was just basically that they spaced out for that period of time. Or they're just making this up.
I don't know. But Jamie, there's proof. Their phones were on the floor.
Right.
And there were pictures on their phones of lights out of focus.
That is the surest sign of an alien.
To quote Josh, it was really quite a mystery.
It really was. The mystery is, why did someone make this movie?
I think by the end of this, we might be able to construct a theory.
Okay.
The next story that we hear is Shauna telling a very similar story, but this time it's with her best friend, unnamed, unseen in this documentary. They have a 2.5 hour drive, and the next thing she knows, they're like 10 minutes from home. I guess that's just to document that it is happening to both of them.
Mm-hmm. Again, we have no witnesses. It's all just the people who claim to have been abducted saying that they've been abducted. No one else is ever interviewed in this documentary.
No, it's just the two of them.
There's not even somebody like a scholar or something saying this is a common theme among people who've been abducted. No, it's just these people making up their horseshit stories.
I think you just got the first explicit tag warning the episode, and I was pretty sure it was going to be me.
You're going to bleep these out, right?
It would be a lot of bleeping. The next story that we get told is one of my favorites because this involves Josh.
Oh, God.
It's Sunday night, and Josh has gotten home from Shauna's house. They recorded their weekend together with a Zoom microphone. He's back at his house. He's going to spend some time listening to this and I guess fall asleep listening to the recording of their time together doing something. He says 30 minutes into listening to it, he wakes up and it's hours later and he feels like there are people in the room with him. And he says the lights are off. His headphones and laptop are on the nightstand, but when he fell asleep, the lights were on and there was stuff on the bed. So I thought that this was about aliens, but now it sounds like he's being haunted by someone's dad. Who's like, turn off the damn lights, put your shit where it's supposed to be and go to bed.
Your laptop is going to fall on the floor if you sleep with it like that.
Dad's not wrong.
No, dad isn't. But you listen for a half an hour and then you wake up and it's 3 hours later. That is what sleeping is. Like, has he never slept? You close your eyes at 11 and then you open them up at 4:45 in the morning and you don't remember what happened because you were asleep.
But Jamie, wouldn't you be a bit surprised to find that an alien has tucked you in?
These aliens are so benevolent. They put a little mint on the pillow.
It gets weirder because now he says that he thinks he's waking up, but it's like the room opens up and he describes it as a digital wave that opens up and he starts to feel a pull on his feet like he's being pulled from the corner of the room.
Just as I start yelling, no, you're not fucking taking me. No, no, no. I start saying that. All of a sudden it stops.
This is called a dream.
After this stops, he says that he sees these black balls of light bouncing around on the ceiling. So he grabs his notebook and starts writing down everything that just happened. Now, let's talk about the proper responses to the scenario that just happened. It's getting the fuck out of that room.
Right.
If all of this shit really happened, and now you're no longer being sucked into a portal to a different dimension, but there are still weird black balls bouncing around the ceiling, you need to leave.
Yes. Put your pen down.
It's not journaling time.
No. It made me mad because he's all like, I am going to document this thing that happened to me.
It seemed really important at the moment to write it all down.
It's his dream journal, Dave. That is what he put this in. His dream journal. Because what he had was a dream.
I wondered if Josh has sleep paralysis.
I don't care.
You don't want to diagnose him with me?
No, because I think that that's even giving him more validity to his story.
Jamie, the narrator says that some may argue that this was all only a dream and acknowledges that while it's possible, it gets much more difficult to dismiss an encounter when two people experience it together.
If the two people are these clowns, you can still dismiss it. I feel like this is the angriest I've been when discussing a documentary on this podcast.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Great.
Maybe I'm just happy that it's not directed at me. I don't know.
For once.
So Shauna's mom lives in Massachusetts, and Josh and Shauna were visiting, and they went out and had some Chinese. So they head home with their leftovers, and they see some lights in the sky. And I don't know if you caught this, but Josh misspeaks here and says it was some kind of identified object.
Yes, he did.
A UFO or some identified flying object above us?
Because it is. It's a street light.
This is the only time I believe Josh in this entire documentary. Well, they pull over and look at it and then get back on the road and the lights follow them all the way home.
So these clowns have never seen the moon. Because the moon does the same thing. Remember when you were like 5 and you were looking out your car window and the moon was there? But you were driving and the moon was always in the same place. These people never realized that that's just a thing.
They get home. We now have a split in the storytelling. Shauna goes in to let the dog out, who's been inside all day, and put the leftovers in the fridge. And Josh stays out because he keeps hearing what he describes as little critters. Shauna says that this is all that she remembers. But Josh says that Shauna came back outside to check on him, and there was a big, bright ball of light suddenly over the house. And Josh's response...
I looked up at it, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, do you see that? I said, we need to lay down on the ground and look up at this thing.
This guy does not have the appropriate reaction to danger.
No.
Because he's trying to imply that there's danger here. You just said there were critters on the ground, and now you're laying on it? Josh.
Right. The only thing I could do was like take off my clothes, get down on the ground and bend over.
That's the only thing to do in this situation.
So he puts his head on the grass and everything gets quiet. And then he sits back up and Shauna is gone. She's not inside. The leftovers aren't anywhere.
I love that we know where the leftovers are at all points in this story.
Then he says there's nowhere she could have gone. So he calls her and she answers the phone and he says she's giddy and laughing and says that she's in the woods. So he takes off towards the woods to try to find her.
Did you notice that the illustration of Shauna at the part where he's talking about how giddy she was, it's actually a frowny face?
Oh, I didn't catch that. Turn that frown upside down.
And plus, they're like basically stick drawings. The director could have easily been like, yeah, take 2 seconds to erase that and then make the curve go up.
Well, he ends up running towards the woods. He calls again. She's still laughing and says she doesn't know where she is. And he finds out that she's, he says, 60 to 80 feet away from the house. That's not that far.
No. You're like basically in your neighbor's yard. It's so bad.
But the real tragedy here is we don't know what happened to the leftovers.
I know.
Josh, when he goes digging through the house, he says that he doesn't see the leftovers anywhere. So the aliens wanted both her and the leftovers?
So here's my theory. They eat this delicious Chinese food. The aliens observe that they have leftovers. The aliens are like, hey, they really seem to enjoy that meal. Let's follow them home, do some like wackadoodle shit, and then take their leftovers when they're not looking. Rather than have the Chinese restaurant make the aliens a meal, they're going to do this elaborate scheme in order to get the leftovers from Josh and Shauna.
Are you questioning the ultra-dimensional beings, Jamie?
I think they're inefficient. I think this is not the process that you would take if you really wanted leftovers.
Not when you can open this portal.
Right. Just open a portal in the fridge and take the leftovers.
Open a portal at the restaurant.
Yes.
Suck in the whole damn buffet.
You do not need to have critters scuttling around on the ground that like convince Josh to lay on the ground and look at the moon in order to get those leftovers.
By critters, I assume you mean raccoons, which is what I was assuming they were.
Yes. Shoot me.
I know you love this next part.
Ah!
Shauna talks about how she's very attuned, and particularly problematic is when the lights are red. Normally they're white, but these red lights showed up one day, and then later that night she went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night with excruciating pain, thought she was maybe having an ovarian cyst burst, thought about going to the hospital, but then it went away. That was the same night she saw the red light.
This is the dumbest thing ever. So you saw red lights, and then a couple hours later, you have ovarian pain that goes away. And that is your evidence that those red lights are some sort of malignant force in your life. You had an ovarian cyst, Shauna. You just described a textbook ovarian cyst.
Someday someone is going to explain causation,
right?
Versus correlation.
Right.
And her little mind is going to explode.
I have had 2 ovarian cyst ruptures in my life. Both of those happened after I married you. Does that mean you are causing my ovarian cysts? Probably.
No comment.
They kind of have sort of falsified documentation, like here's a recreation of these red lights. It's a plane. It is a plane flying in the sky at night.
Yes.
I'm so angry.
I have to say that there was a moment kind of in this first half when this was starting out where I kind of felt like this almost feels like it would be the basis for an episode of The X-Files. 2 abductees in this quiet town. They find love.
Dave.
It would be a way better told, but it feels like this is like the basis of an X-Files story.
Dave, if Mulder and Scully showed up and they were told this bullshit story of leftovers disappearing, they would get in their car and drive off. This is nothing. Your leftovers went away. The dog has been cooped up all day. The dog could have eaten the leftovers.
In the corner, the dog is like, nobody look at me. Right? No, nobody look at me.
And you know that this dog is a pit bull. These are people who have a pit bull and listen to Limp Bizkit.
Yes. The second half of this is devoted to evidence.
Quote unquote evidence.
The second day of filming, they were supposed to be reviewing a bunch of their evidence that these two clowns had collected. And when they went to do that, the camera froze and stopped recording. And then Josh's laptop froze. And Shauna says that this kind of weird devices freezing stuff happens all the time.
That is just technology.
Apparently this is supposed to be signifying something.
Having technology issues does not mean that there are aliens in your house. It's not like every time you have a technology fail, you think, oh my God, an alien. Who leaps to that? I'm irate. Why am I doing this podcast? Why?
It's only going to get worse. They talk for a while about how they filmed one of these lights. And it's just like a street light, clearly out of focus.
Right.
And they're making it out like it's this most amazing thing.
But it's just so interesting and very organic.
It's literally a street light.
Then they go outside to look at lights in the sky. They don't cut any of this, thank God, because they don't see anything. But then they start to hear noises coming from the woods. So they follow the sound to a section of the woods and they find nothing. So then they go back to the bonfire.
Oh my God.
And the narrator says they tried to again locate or perhaps summon a UFO. And this is another big warning of where this ultimately goes.
At one point, don't they say that they see star-sized objects in the sky?
I don't remember that, but it would not surprise me.
And then like they talk about some of them are moving. Those are satellites. Have you never heard of satellites?
Satellites and airplanes.
Right? Like my whole childhood was spent sitting by bonfires, looking up to find satellites in the sky. That is what they are. My parents at no point were like, oh my God, aliens.
Maybe they should have been. They hear something in the woods, so Josh calls out, who's out there? Can you show yourself to us? And they don't see anything. They go back into the house. They begin reviewing photos of this round light with lines through it. Honestly, it looks like videoing or photographing a streetlight through a fence, like a chain link fence.
Absolutely.
As they move around and the, you know, the lines would shift in front of it, they're trying to say that that's like the object taking different forms and reconfiguring itself.
And before you start to think that like industrial light and magic is creating this footage, It is still looks like a smudge. Like it's not rendered in any sort of detail. It's just this sort of smudgy looking glowy blob that has sort of out of focus lines on it.
Mm-hmm. Some of the footage is just with a cell phone, which is like, this looks like nothing.
There isn't one piece of compelling evidence presented here.
No, but Josh once again reasserts that if they have a bad day, they tend to see the red lights. And when they're really connected with each other in positive ways, they see the white ones. And then we get footage of what is very obviously an airplane.
Right. Oh my God.
It's like moving across the sky with like the blinking.
Right.
I know you guys seemingly live out in the middle of nowhere, but you have never seen an airplane flying through the sky.
Wouldn't it be funny if this whole time it was literally just airplanes? I mean, I think it is, but
I think it is for these two.
But like, if they actually compiled evidence and somebody sat down with it and like, that's an airplane, man. Oh.
We've only got 5 minutes left, but these last 5 minutes are a doozy.
I screamed at my iPad when I watched this part.
We get some weird music that kind of sounds like wailing.
That was me screaming watching this.
You've psychologically, paranormally imprinted upon the soundtrack of this documentary?
I have. And paranormal is a key word here.
The next thing that we're told is
Shauna and Josh are both experienced paranormal investigators.
This explains everything.
Everything.
When their seemingly extraterrestrial encounter started, they tapped into that investigator instinct.
Oh my God.
And left out audio recorders overnight. And Shauna says,
let's see if we can capture any voice phenomenon or EVPs.
I don't know what happened next because I threw my television out the fucking window.
We have eliminated all technology in our house henceforth because this is bullshit.
I got so mad watching this. Like, I was like, this is dumb. This is completely far-fetched and stupid. But then when they, like, backdoor in this whole paranormal ghost hunting bullshit.
Yep. You could hear me from the other side of the house when I hit this point. And I heard laughter. Lots and lots of laughter, as though you knew where I was in this documentary.
I knew.
You almost can't go on after it.
This should have been at the beginning. They should have been upfront about this.
Then we would have burned this documentary.
It would have been a whole extra layer of bullshit that they would have had to try to sell everybody. So they hide it until the very end.
Why even bring it up, though? Because it is an extra layer of BS. Why are they even adding it? Because now it's like, not only do you have the UFO skeptics, now you have the ghost skeptics.
Now you have both sets of the believers. You've just doubled the audience for this bullshit.
So there's four people now that have seen this documentary?
Josh says,
I think we asked, you know, who was here? What do you want?
It was like, a reason. Why are you connecting like, can you give us a reason? Right. Why you're connecting with us or something like yeah. that. And it said Earth.
Tell us what's up or what you need or who you are.
It's almost as though the call is coming from inside the house.
Oh, it sure is, isn't it?
Oh.
We get an epilogue. Or we get what's titled an epilogue, because it's really more like a character reference for Shauna and Josh from the director. Like, they're applying to get a loan or adopt a child or something.
Yes.
Because all it is like 2 minutes talking about how wonderful these people are.
Despite everything that Shauna has seen and experienced, she remains a grounded individual. She's a warm and caring person who adores her children. She's intelligent, resourceful, and strong. The same can be said about Josh. He is calm, insightful, and does everything he can to provide for his family.
What the fuck is this movie?
It's for their court case, their upcoming court hearing.
Shauna and Josh don't complete each other, because they already were. Instead, they enhance one another.
Ah, happy Valentine's Day. I need to leave this mortal coil because, oh my God.
You're saying you want to become a transdimensional being.
Yes, and haunt them. Steal all their leftovers. Make critter noises around their house and give her ovarian cysts. What on earth?
Well, Jamie, before you go,
huh?
We need to know, what did you learn?
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
Well, I hate to say this, but I learned that I'm a UFO snob. And I say that because when I was a kid, maybe 16, my mom and I canoed out to this floating dock that we had at our cabin to look at the stars. And so we were laying on our back looking at the stars, and it was totally calm out, just still. And this gigantic cloud, it was triangle shaped, almost more boomerang shaped, and it was glowing, like light was reflecting off of it. But there were other clouds in the sky that were just dark. Like when you have clouds in the sky and it's night, you just basically don't see them.
Like, this is out in the middle of nowhere. There's no light pollution. There's nothing that would reflect up and hit clouds or bounce off.
Right. This is over a lake in the middle of the woods in a town that doesn't even have a population sign. So as it passed over us, fierce wind kicked up and blew just the length of time that it took this cloud to pass over us, which was probably like a minute. And then after it passed over us, there was sort of the sulfuric smell. And my mom and I looked at each other and were like, scared shitless, if I'm going to be honest. We got into the canoe and we paddled to shore and like ran into the cabin. And she called my dad, and my dad was highly skeptical. Nobody really believes us, but my mom and I are like, we saw what we saw and we stand by it. That, and I learned that apparently when I watch documentaries about people who are this irritating, I get very angry.
I don't feel like this is the worst thing that you and I have watched in some respects.
I don't buy it at all. And I don't buy that they buy it. And maybe that's the issue. What did you learn, Dave?
I learned that ghost hunters are willing to lie about more than just ghosts. And that's really as far as I got because I was so pissed off when I was done watching this.
There's nothing to learn here. Like, there's nothing from this documentary that sheds any new light on the subject of extraterrestrial life. They have no experts on. They have no explanations for the types of things that they're experiencing. There's nothing but these two clowns telling a made-up story about their nap.
My theory, we talked about this at the very beginning, about like why this was made. My theory is that given how the director seemed pretty chummy with these guys, I think they're all in the same sort of like ghost hunting group.
I like it. And all of these people should have all technology taken from them.
They should have the technology taken away that allows them to communicate outward to the world.
Right. I hate this documentary.
Well, you can hate the documentary, but don't hate Tomb Dragomir. He's the creator of our theme song, Mexicana Massacre, off of his album, Instrumental Psycho Synth. And you should also show some love this time of the year to our podcast friends at 6 Foot Plus and at the Projection Booth.
Yes, and you can show us some love by visiting our Twitter page at Super True Story or our Facebook page at Super True Stories. You can also leave us a review or share this podcast with your friends.
I kind of like doing these aliens and ghosts and paranormal things. Like, it's good to revisit this well, and it's such a deep well.
Oh, God. I signed up for this voluntarily.
You sure did. Both this and our marriage.
Oh, this makes me question both. Well, I'm going to go eat some leftovers.
All right, maybe I'll join you. Jamie, are you there?
I'm gone.
You grabbed the takeout box and you ran for the woods. It wasn't aliens. It was you just trying to finally escape.
Right.
All right. Well, on that note, we will let you, dear listener, escape as well. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Looking for lights, they saw a few interesting star-sized objects moving about, but nothing really out of the ordinary.